bed management. We have spoken about bed management in our previous slides. Now let us understand bed management in a more detail. Monitoring bed availability and occupancy rate. What does bed management do? It monitors bed availability and occupancy rate. It ensures that the beds are provided to the patient on a timely manner. It ensures efficient allocation of beds. Now, monitoring bed availability, it has to continuously track the available beds and their occupancy status. So how many patients are getting admitted? How many patients are getting discharged? Is there any way that the patient can be discharged on time? Are there any delays happening? So real-time data for making informed bed allocation decisions. So it is an ongoing continuous tracking of the available beds. So a bed management person has to continuously track how many patients are getting discharged, how many patients are getting admitted in emergency, in IPD, are there any requests from the OPD department, and ensure that allocation of beds are done timely to the patient. Prioritizing patients based on their medical needs and the acuity. So here, when we do allocation of bed, we ensure, we take in consideration the clinical condition of the patient, where we understand whether it is clinically, how urgently the patient needs the bed, and the list is prioritized accordingly, where a patient who requires like we said, triaging of the patient, a patient with a triage 1 needs a bed admission, and he has to be prioritized as compared to the triage 2 patient, where the bed admissions is done or is required, but it will be on the next list, or it will be second in line as compared to the triage 1 patient. Coordinating admissions and transfers to optimize bed utilization. So now, when we say coordinating admissions, it is they have to coordinate with the admission desk. They have to coordinate between the transfers. Now, when I say transfers here, let us take consideration of ICU beds. A patient from ICU has to go to a step down ICU to a ward. So here, the patient is transferred from an ICU to a ward. There, you know that your ICU bed is vacant, but your ward bed has been allocated to the same patient. So it is about coordinating between the admissions and the transfers to have a better allocation or better utilization of bed. Timely discharge planning. Yes, timely discharge planning is important. As I told you, that timely discharge planning make the other bed available for the patient awaiting the admissions, and we have to prioritize that it is on time. Planning for timely release of patients when they no longer require hospital care. We have to monitor the clinical condition of the patient here before we plan a discharge. So we need to consider his clinical condition and then plan a release of the patients. We have to ensure that, for an example, if a particular patient is discharged, but he is awaiting for a transportation to be arranged for him to leave the hospital. So here we are accommodating the bed beyond the discharge time, where we are not even billing the patient. Our bed is accommodated, which can't be allotted to the next patient. But here, if we have a discharge lounge where a patient can be shifted till his transport is available, or till he physically gets discharged from the hospital and the particular bed is vacant for other admissions, it is one of the utilization of or allocation of the bed or timely discharge planning. Prioritizing the high acuity patients to ensure they receive necessary care promptly. So here we ensure that the care of the patient doesn't suffer in any case. So after talking about bed management now and demand forecasting, let us talk about staffing, equipment and facilities. When we talk about staffing, it is aligning staff with patients and volumes and acuity. Aligning the staff as per the demand forecasting. Resource allocation is part, staffing is part of resource allocation, where we do allocate a staff or align a staff with patients' volumes. Considering of patients' acuity, workload and skill mix. Flexible staff plans to address demand fluctuations. So if there is a demand fluctuations, we provide the staff allocation according to the demands, where we ensure that the patient care or needs do not suffer and the patient services are promptly provided. Equipment and facilities. As we spoke, that hospital is not only about manpower, nurses, doctors, it is also about equipment and the other facilities. Assessing equipment's needs and maintenance, planning for replacement and upgrades. So equipment need to be, there has to be a preventive care taken for the equipments and the instruments. The maintenance has to be done, either it is monthly, quarterly, yearly. We have to ensure that the equipment needs maintenance, planning for replacement and upgrades. So as we know that healthcare is evolving every day, new technologies or new equipments are entering the market, we have to ensure that planning for upgrades, we have to plan for upgrades if it is required for a particular services, if it is going to enhance the services what we provide to the patient, and replacement when we say that a particular equipment has to be condemned, we have to ensure that a timely replacement is done of that equipment. Scheduling optimization of efficiently facility use. We have to also ensure while we purchase an equipment or a particular service, we have to ensure that it is optimized well. It is optimized efficiently and so that it is not underused or overused. It is efficiently used for the patients. Supply chain management and technology utilization. When I say supply chain management revolves around procuring of required inventory or required supplies for implementing inventory control. And it involves around procuring the pharmaceutical product, the equipment, the instruments. So it is about complete services which are provided by supply chain management. Supply chain management establishes reliable procurement process, maintaining appropriate inventory levels. So they are responsible for maintaining an inventory levels of pharmacy products, of equipments, of instruments in the hospital, so that there is no obstruction in providing the services. They coordinate with the multiple suppliers and implement inventory control. Technology utilization, leveraging hospital information systems and electronic health records, real-time data for resource utilization, informed decision making and identifying bottlenecks. When we involve the technology utilization, it helps us have an electronic health record. What we have spoken before, how an electronic health record a patient can access sitting in any part of the world can access to his health record. This is about technology utilization. A real-time data for resource utilization. It gives us real-time data of resource utilizations where we understand what resource has been utilized and do we need to have more resources or do we need to reduce the resources. It gives us a real time data to make the decision, informed decision making and identifying the bottlenecks. Culture safety, culture of safety and patient engagement. This is one of the very important aspects of operations management. Key aspects, key concepts of operations management, where culture of safety involves safety of patient, safety of staff, safety of services in the hospital. Promoting open communication in healthcare environment. When we talk about promoting open communication, it involves you can come up and talk about what you feel is right. Encouraging report of near misses and adverse events. When a patient falls, the nurse reports and we call it patient fall, and it is one of the adverse events. When we encourage communication, when we encourage culture of safety, when the nurse is assured that she is not going to be penalized for communicating the event, we build a trust in her to come up and report these incidences. Empowering healthcare providers to identify and address potential risk and hazards. Here, the healthcare providers are the people who are with the patient, with the culture of safety, we empower them to come up, identify about the potential risk. They can come up and talk to the administrative person and tell that this is going to be harmful and we need to, we need to improve it, whether it is the service, whether it is the equipment, or whether it is any instrument in the hospital. But with empowering them, we are going to have a better hospital care. Patient engagement, encouraging patient to actively participate in their care decisions. Like we spoke before, we are patient-centric care is provided where patient actively participates in his care decisions. The doctor consultant ensures whatever care or whatever treatment is planned for him is discussed. His approval is taken on the treatment and then we go ahead with the treatment planned for him. Providing clear communication and education to the patient. Yes, clear communication about a particular services and educating them about the services which helps patient take a better decision for his care. So we provide communication and education to the patients, involving patient in care planning and enhance understanding and satisfaction. Like we spoke about patient-centric care, where patient is involved in understanding his care plan or understanding his treatment plan, where he is made understand the risk, the benefits, the pros and cons of the treatment, what he is going to undergo, and he is given the right to take a decision for himself. Clinical guidelines, medication safety, and infection control. All these three parameters revolve around patient care, enhancing the clinical care of the patient. These are the clinical parameters which revolve in improving patient's care. Adherence to evidence-based practices. When we say adherence to evidence-based practices, the evidence-based practice depend upon the clinical researchers' experience, patient condition. Implementing evidence-based clinical guidelines for the patient care. Establishing and updating protocols for various conditions and promoting guidelines adherence among the healthcare providers. So all these things involve clinical research which undertakes in improving a patient's care. So when a clinical research or the research is taken place, new equipments, new services or new clinical practices are developed and adapting to those practices to provide a better care or better clinical outcomes to the patient are part of clinical guidelines or evidence-based practices. The clinical guidelines depends upon the research, the patient, the doctor's consultant's experience, and the patient's condition. Medication safety, ensuring accurate medications prescribing, dispensing, and administration. We all know how important it is to take a right medication. If you think there is an error, what will happen? Yes, there will be side effects. So we have to ensure that the accurate medications are prescribed. The prescribed medications are dispensed and the dispensed medications are administered. We have to understand that this flow should be correctly maintained or accurate so that the patient does not have any complications or side effects. Using computerized physician order entry. When we say computerized physician order entry, the physician sees the patient in an OPD and prescribes the patient the medications in the system, the CPOE system, which is connected to the pharmacist, where he is able to visualize or the entry is visible to him. He dispenses the medication and the same entry is visible to the nursing staff who administers the drug or the medicine. Promoting medication reconciliation and patient education about their medication. What do you understand by medication reconciliation? Medication reconciliation is when a patient at home is taking certain medications or he is on certain medications. When he comes to the hospital, we document what those medications are. We reconcile his treatment with his ongoing treatment, with his current treatment. We reconcile the medications and the patient is educated about the medications or the changes what we are doing in his medications. This enhances the patient safety. So there is no duplicacy. For an example, if a patient is a diabetic and he is on 10 units of insulin and he comes to the hospital where he is again prescribed the insulin without doing a medication reconciliation and where the units have been reduced to 12 without the similar medicine with a different company is given to the patient, and here the patient is taking the previous 10 units insulin from an X company and the 10 units of an insulin from the Y company, which the content is same. What do you think? Here the patient is going to have complications or it is going to be harmful to the patient. What has been missed here? It is the medication reconciliation. So by reconciling the patient, reconciling the medications, we understand this X insulin is ongoing, and because we need not have to Y insulin, but we are going to alter the dose in X insulin and provide it to the patient. This will help or enhance his treatment, and we are also going to educate the patient about the medication reconciliation and inform him that there has been change in the doses of the medication. Infection prevention and control. Infection prevention in the hospital is very important. Hospital acquired infections are, we have to ensure that the rate of hospital acquired infections are up to the benchmark and zero in the hospitals, because hospital acquired or associated infections provide complications in patients. It leads to the patient dissatisfaction. And what are the issues that, what are the reasons of these infections? That can be infection control practices are not followed. Implementing of hand hygiene protocols. We talk about 7 steps of hand hygiene, 5 moments of hand hygiene, where we ensure that when a doctor or a consultant sees a patient, the hand hygiene protocols are followed to reduce the infection rate or to eradicate the infection rate, and the infection from A patient doesn't pass on to B patient due to the examination by the same hands. This is a part of infection prevention and control in the hospital. Adhering to the isolation precautions and surveillances of HAIs. Error reporting and quality monitoring and staff education. Error reporting and analysis, like we spoke about it before, about near miss and adverse events. Encouraging report of errors and near misses and adverse events is one of the important aspects, because it helps us understanding the problems or the bottlenecks in the hospital in regards to the particular services where errors are occurring and reoccurring. We understand what are the near misses and do they require an attention to improve the services. We know that there is a particular adverse event and we need to change the services. So these are the categorization of an event, and we have to ensure that the staff is assured that and encouraged to report these events without the fear that he may be penalized for taking this issue up. Implementing confidential and non-punitive reporting system. We have to assure the staff that they also can report these incidences with confidentiality. They do not have to mention their name, but yes, they should mention the incident. We do not enforce on basically knowing the identity of the person who has reported the incident. Eventually, when we do error reporting, we do the analysis and then we improve the processes for the better patient outcomes or the better patient services. Analyzing reported incidences and implementing corrective actions. We do a corrective actions. We do preventive actions. So these improve the experience of the patient. So when an error is reported, we do the root cause analysis where we understand the reason for occurring the error. Then we do a corrective action if there are any chances of corrections, and then we do a preventive actions. Now let us take example of a patient fall. We understand that the patient fall has increased in the hospital by slipping in the bathroom. We have a look at the infrastructure and we understand that the floor is very slippery. We ensure the corrective action is treating the patient there, treating for the fall, treating for the injury due to the fall. So in corrective action is treating the patient for the injury. And what is the preventive action? So your corrective action can never be your preventive action. The preventive action, we have to ensure that how these falls don't occur again and again. We ensure how those falls can be prevented. Whether we have to change the infrastructure, whether we have to add something in the infrastructure, whether we, you know, any changes are to be made so that these falls are reduced, and we ensure that this take place. Continuous quality monitoring and performance metrics. Quality is not a one-day job or a month's job. It is continuous monitoring. We have to ensure that the quality is monitored every second, every minute, every hour. And the performance metrics also, like quality monitoring and performance metrics, are monitored continuously for the better patient care and services. Continuous quality monitoring, quality indicators are defined for the hospital where they help us, you know, analyze the performance of the services or the performance of the particular services given in the hospital. Tracking patient satisfaction, mortality rates, readmission rates, compliance with the guidelines, hand hygiene rates. We have then we have waiting times. So all these add up to a continuous quality monitoring. The quality is monitored in all the aspects, and then we analyze and the performances and do the necessary changes. The data analysis and performance benchmarking for quality improvement. Interdisciplinary collaboration, education and process improvement. Promoting effective communication and teamwork among the healthcare disciplines, providing ongoing education and training for healthcare providers, conducting root cause analysis using quality improvement methodologies for process enhancement and error reduction. We have spoken all about these points before, where we have understood how we do a root cause analysis. There are multiple tools which are in the hospitals which help us do a root cause analysis of the patient. For example, there are 5 Y's, there are a DMAX system where we understand the processes. So there are multiple tools which are used for root cause analysis. And then understanding the root cause, we have a quality improvement methodologies for process enhancement and error reduction. Introduction to lean healthcare management. Now let us understand what lean healthcare management is. When we use lean principle to improve the services or infrastructure, it is basically a tool of continuous improvement. Applying the lean principles to healthcare organizations, including hospitals, diagnostic services, and nursing homes. When we apply the lean principles for the better improvement of the services and ongoing changes, it's a continuous improvement tool which is used in healthcare management. The goal of lean healthcare management is eliminate waste through healthcare processes, reduce errors and efficiencies, enhance the overall value provided to the patients, and improve patient outcome and satisfaction. So when we say the goal of lean healthcare management, eliminate the waste through healthcare processes, there may be the processes which are unduly taking a lot of time, which are time consuming or which are unnecessary. So by applying the lean principles, we eliminate the waste through healthcare processes, reduce the errors. Lean tool help us to reduce errors and efficiencies and overall value provided to the patient. It enhances, because when we remove the extra processes or the waste processes, reduce the errors and efficiency, it eventually increase or enhance the overall value provided to the patients, and that eventually adds to patient outcomes, better patient outcomes and satisfactions. Lean principles and strategies. Key principles and strategies here we will understand value stream mapping, standardization of work, just-in-time delivery. So we will be studying about these three principles about the lean, and moving ahead, let's start with value stream mapping. Value stream mapping, we do identifying and analyzing patient care processes. mapping the entire patient journey from admission to discharge, identify the areas of waste and opportunities for improvement. If in my previous slide, we have always taken an example of OPDs where we understand how a patient is unhappy and how there are unnecessary processes added in the patient flow, which add to the patient dissatisfaction. By adding, the principle of value stream mapping, we map each processes and analyze the processes. We map the entire patient journey from admission to discharge, the moment patient enters in the hospital. Basically, let us not mention your admission to discharge. Let us mention the patient's arrival to patient's departure in the hospital. We map the entire patient journey, identify the areas of waste and the opportunities for improvement. Standardization of work, implementing clear protocols, guidelines and checklists. Let us take example of a surgical checklist where a pre-operative surgical checklist where a patient is planned for a surgery has directly goes to the OT without having any checklist, and there the consultant is unable to operate the patient due to some clinical variations what he noticed, which could have been avoided by forming a checklist where a nursing team ensures that the patient's area is prepared, patient's equipments or the patient's in jewelry is removed, patient uniform is changed to the surgical suit. So all these important checklists are to be mapped with the services to ensure the service is better provision of services. Ensuring consistent and efficient care delivery. So by standardizing the work, we ensure that it is consistent and efficient care is provided to the patient. We reduce variability. So for example, there will be a patient on 7th floor which will be having a checklist. On B, on 9th floor, there will be a different checklist. So there will be variations of processes. So the chances of errors, the nurse in the PACU, now as we have taken an example of surgical patient, gets confused there, or there is the possibility of error where she misses certain tests or she misses re-verifying the checklist. So reducing the variability is very important while we have similar kind of patients or similar kind of processes to be followed. Reducing variability, area errors and rework. So automatically it will reduce the errors and it will enhance the services. Just-in-time delivery, focusing on timely delivery of resources and information. Minimizing inventory storage cost, ensuring resources are available when needed. All these things are going to enhance the patient's experience, reduce the cost, improve processes, and reduce staff and the patient satisfaction. Lean methodologies and patient-centered care. Continuous improvement, yes. Lean methodologies revolve around continuous process improvement. What are the methodologies for which are used for it? We do plan, do, study, act cycle. Here we identify, analyze and address process inefficient and errors. Regular data collection, analysis and feedbacks to drive improvement. Now let us take example of a surgical OT, first OT on time. The OT has to start and on 8 o'clock, okay, we identify that there are multiple variations or multiple reasons why the operation theater does not start on time, that is 8 a.m. Okay, we identify reasons that surgeon is delayed, the patient's consent is pending, the patient is not prepared on time, patient is not getting admitted on time. So all this data is collected and analyzed. And addressed processing inefficiencies. We address where there is a process gap or inefficiency in the process, which once improved can have a better outcomes. So we do the analyzing, addressing the processes inefficiencies. We do improvement of the process, and then we do is monitoring of the process, which is an ongoing monitoring. So we plan, we do, we study, and then we act. Okay, and it is a cycle which goes on and on and on. 5S methodology, organizing the workplace for efficiency, safety and cleanliness. So 5S method, like, you know, PDSA is used for improving the processes. The 5S methodology is used for organizing, workplace efficiency, safety and cleanliness. Sort, set and order, shine, standardize and sustain. Reduce clutter, improving workflow and enhancing infection control practices. Where now let's take about administrative desk. Okay, administrative desk, we find a lot of cluttered files, documents. What we do is, with 5S methodologies, we sort the files, we set them in order, we ensure that they shine, and we do standardization of the, standardization of the documents, and then we ensure that the standardization is sustained, the process is sustained, which will improve the cleanliness or decluttering of the desk here. Visual management, using visual cues and displays for real-time information and decision-making. Visual boards and color-coded systems and cues for quick access and monitoring. Enhancing communication and process monitoring. When we say visual management, it includes the visual displays for the real-time information. A patient entering in hospital, as an hospital staff, for you it will be a workplace where you will be entering every day. But for a patient who is entering your hospital for the first time, it's the first of the experience, and he doesn't know anything about the hospital, the location of the departments. For him, we have to ensure that we display a real-time information where he can follow that information or follow those visual cues and go to his particular department for his services, what he is, planned for. So all, we ensure that the patient is guided well through the departments. Patient is aware about the information which needs to be provided to him. A communication or the process monitoring is done. Now let us go ahead and understand healthcare supply chain management. We have spoken about supply chain management and how it revolves around procurement of medical supplies, equipments and pharmaceuticals in the hospital. Now the goal of supply chain management is availability of right products in right quantities at the right time and the right cost. So if you see, all these goals lead to a better patient outcome, reduce waste, and enhance the patient experience by getting the right items on time or right services at time. Key components and considerations in healthcare supply chain management. Procurement and sourcing is one of the key components. Identify quality suppliers at a competitive prices. So if you say negotiation is one of the part of procurement team, they identify quality suppliers are available in the hospital to provide the services or provide the products at the competitive prices, and they do not charge high because they are a quality suppliers. Considering product quality, reliability, cost and supplier relationship. So all these take part between the procurement team and the suppliers. They ensure that the product quality, what is supply, is up to mark. The cost is up to mark, the cost is effective, and reliability of the product is there. And they also maintain the supply relationships with the suppliers for an long-term connectivity or long-term business association. Establishing contracts, negotiating terms, and implementing supplier management processes. When I say contracts, they have to ensure that the contracts between the suppliers and the hospitals are in place. They ensure that the negotiation terms are in the benefit of the hospital, and implement supplier management process. They are the people who define the processes in the supply chain management. Inventory management. Now that after speaking about procurement and sourcing, the other key component is the inventory management. Balancing the stock levels to meet the demand while minimizing the excess inventory. As I told you, excess inventory or the less inventory, both affect the efficiency of work. We have to ensure that the demand, the stock levels meet the demand while minimizing the excess inventory. The read demand forecasting. We spoke about demand forecasting before, and yes, supply chain management also does a demand forecasting, monitoring stock levels and inventory control. They ensure that the inventory is controlled where there is no excess, there is no theft, there is no loss, there is no breakage. So the complete inventory control is done by an supply chain management team. Technology and solutions like barcode scanning, RFID for tracking and management. Yes, technology is also involved in supply chain management, where every product is barcoded and the same product is scanned by the nursing team or the pharmaceutical team and charged to the patient. So that also helps in a better revenue, better revenue optimization, where we do not miss charging a patient due to the technology involved. Distribution and logistics, ensuring timely and efficient supply distribution, streamlined processes, efficient warehousing and transportation system. All this lies all with the supply chain management. They not only procure pharmaceuticals or pharmacies or equipments, they do inventory management for them, and they also ensure that the distribution is timely and efficiently done. There is storage of the instruments is maintained well. The real-time tracing and coordination of the logistic providers is done well.